Let's pray. Our Father, our God, we bow before you, and Lord, we cry out to you those words. That, Lord, we are glad to be part of the family of God, and we pray, Lord, that you give us clean hands, pure heart, as we worship you. Even as we pray to you, God, that's our prayer for you, to you. God, as we, your people, as we pray together, we pray, Lord, that as we look to November 7th, we pray that you would continue to unite us as your people. God, we know that you go before us. And we pray that, Lord, through all of this, we know that even through opposition, God, we know that you are God, that you are Lord, and we trust in you. We believe you, God. And so we gather as your people today to pray. We pray, Lord, for those who aren't feeling well. And God, you know each and every one. And you know each and every situation. And you know each and every family member. And God, we know that they're listed for us to pray through the week. But we pray today as your people for each and every one of those situations. We pray, God, for each and every family member. We pray, Lord, where there's ill health, that you would provide healing. And God, whatever form that is. We pray that those who have suffered through a car accident, even those in the situation in Birch Hills, God, we pray for those situations and we lift them to you and pray for healing. We pray, God, that you would heal our land, Father, as those farmers are still trying to harvest. We pray, God. We pray, Lord, that as your people, we would lift up even those who couldn't be here, as we've done this morning, that God, we particularly remember Mary Warkentin and Annette Kreider, and God, we pray for them. We pray that even today they're just being encouraged by our prayers. Father, we pray for those who are feeling turmoil in their life right now, Lord, even through the Weyerhaeuser closing. And Father, we just pray that you would give to us your peace and give to them your peace, God. May they really see you. Father, we pray your blessing upon us as your people, that we would remain obedient to you, we would surrender to you who we are, and Lord, may we just continue to do your will and your purpose. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Gonna move. That's okay. Okay, you know, I always thought I was short. I just didn't know it was that much. All right. How is everybody this morning? Great. I have to find my notes so I can ask you the next question. No. I thought it was great because, you know, the Quebec City thing, that was awesome. I got a phone call from that group, and while they were in Quebec City, and it was kind of humorous because it was left on my machine. I should have had it played for you this morning. I should have kept it and had it played. Because Pastor Jeremy started out with, "Hello. Bonjour, monsieur." And he starts talking, and I almost erased the thing. Till Teresa came out and said, "Hey, we're in Quebec." And then Mario said, "Hey, Pastor Devin, we're having a great time in Quebec City. It's just great." But I was a little worried about Pastor Jeremy leading the sheep astray, you know, getting lost. And that we're going to be having a chat later about that one. But the other thing that he said is, he said that next year, whenever the next National Youth Workers Convention is, it's going to be in Kananaskis, not in Prince Albert. Well, Serve 2005, just so you know, Serve 2005 was to be in Vancouver, and it ended up in Prince Albert. So I said when he said that, I said, "You shouldn't say that, because you don't know, it might end up here." It's great. As I was preparing for this morning, a song journeyed through my head, and I couldn't get rid of it. Has that ever happened to any of you, where you have a song, and you can't stop it? It's just right there. Yeah. I tried everything. It's a familiar song. Some of you maybe have heard it before. Its author is Lee Harlan, and this is the song, and I want you to sit back and just drink in the song. I'm not even going to try to sing it. It may come out that I'll start singing it. Poor you. I apologize for that. But let me just, when you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Yeah. Anything your heart desires will come to you. See, I don't want to sing it. If your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme when you wish upon a star as dreamers do. Do you know the song? What's the song? When you wish upon a star. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. I know you're all going to be going out and wishing upon a star right now. The singer who made that song world famous is Green. He's a cricket named Jiminy. And boy, I mean, he had something to say, not unlike the biblical person we're going to look at this morning. This morning we meet up with a man wearing white robes and, surprisingly, an Egyptian headdress. And this person also has something to say of greater importance than a dreaming cricket. This is Joseph, the son of Jacob, who went from privileged son to the pit of slavery to the palaces of Egypt. And as he strides up to us, he immediately begins speaking, and he says this. He says, dreams are conceived long before they are achieved. The period of time between the birth of a dream and its realization is always a process. This period is filled with doubts, adversity, changes, and surprises. And during the process, you will experience good days and bad days. And frequently you will be faced with a dilemma. Do you give up or do you go on? Without hesitation, Joseph in the book of Genesis gives you the answer. Don't give up on your dream. See, Joseph wants, he wastes no time in imputing wisdom. Learn from a life of adversity, and he tells us, don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. Even if it seems everything is against you, don't give up on your dream. In fact, turn to Genesis chapter 37. Turn to Genesis chapter 37, and notice, don't give up on your dream, even if it seems everything's against you. See, Joseph's dream came to him early, when he was 17 years old. That's when he received visions from God that one day his brothers and even his father would bow down to him. And Joseph immediately shared that information with his family, and it got him into trouble. Has that ever happened to you? You've got so excited, you just bolt in and you say, guess what? This is what's going to happen. And everybody goes, huh? What? Especially kids, we do that. I've done this. I come bolting in, barreling in, and I've said to my parents, Mom and Dad, guess what? Guess what I'm going to do? And I tell it, and then they go, oh, you think so, do you? Well, this is Genesis 37. Look at this, beginning of verse 5. Joseph had a dream. How many of you here have ever had a dream? Very good. All right, you're here with me. That's excellent. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said. See, he didn't learn the first time. We never learned the first time. Listen, he said, I had another dream. This time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. I love that passage of Scripture. See, Joseph, 17 years old, received this dream. And it got him in, it didn't stop him when it got him into trouble. He just went on and he went back to his brothers and said, guess what? I had another one, guys. That the beginning of a dream often generates more enthusiasm than it does wisdom. Because we say things we shouldn't say, and we do things we shouldn't do. And we don't start off often, we don't start off all that well, like Joseph. But unlike Joseph, too often we give up on our dreams in the early stages when they're most fragile. It's like a small congregation in the foothills of the, and you need to hear this, small congregation in the foothills of the Great Smokies. They built a new sanctuary in a piece of land willed to them by a church member. And 10 days before the new church was to open, the local building inspector informed the pastor the parking lot was inadequate for the size of the building. And he said, until the church doubled the size of the parking lot, he said, they would not be able to use their new sanctuary. Now, unfortunately, the church, with its undersized parking lot, had used every inch of their land except for the mountain against which it had been built. Now, in order to build more parking spaces, they would have to move the mountain out of the backyard. Well, the pastor, he was just undaunted by this. He announced, because the pastors are like that. They just, oh, well. He announced that Sunday morning that he would meet that evening with all members who had mountain-moving faith. They'd hold a prayer session asking God to remove the mountain from the backyard to somehow provide enough money to have it paved and painted before the scheduled opening dedication service the following week. Now, isn't that huge? You think we're crazy. At the appointed time, 24 of the congregation's 300 members assembled for prayer. They prayed for nearly 3 hours. 10 o'clock, the pastor said the final amen. "We'll open next Sunday as scheduled," he assured everybody. "God's never let us down before, and I believe he'll be faithful this time too." Next morning, as he's working in his study, there came a loud knock on the door. He called, "Come on in," and a rough-looking construction foreman appeared, removing his hard hat as he entered, and he said, "Excuse me, Reverend, I'm from the Acme Construction Company over in the next county. We're building a huge new shopping mall over there, and we need some fill dirt. Would you be willing to sell us a chunk of that mountain behind the church?" "We'll pay you for the dirt we remove and pave all the exposed area free of charge if we can have it right away. We can't do anything else until we get the dirt in and allow it to settle properly." Little church was dedicated next Sunday, originally planned, and there were more members with mountain-moving faith on opening Sunday than there had been the previous week. Boy. I tell you, that speaks volumes as we approach November 7th. Do you believe God? I believe him. See, too often we give up on our dreams in the early stages when they're most fragile. And Joseph encourages us to recapture the dream that we abandoned and once again claim it as our own. In fact, if you look at verse 10, when he told his father as well as brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What's this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down before you?" Joseph wasn't going to get any support from anyone, especially his family. Have you ever felt like you just weren't supported? You have this wonderful dream, and you're enthused, you're excited, you think everyone will just love this, it's so incredible, and then boom, you discover everyone doesn't love it. What an incredible dream we have here at First. Seniors Development New Church, I mean, it's so huge. It's almost like we need mountain-moving faith, isn't it? Well, we do. You see, let me tell you, it's very difficult to retain your dream when others want you to release it. But when your dream comes from God, the dream holds you when you feel unable to hold it. And that's how I learned this week. Believe me, past few weeks. We called the prayer meeting last Tuesday on the land here, and I was astounded. We gathered and we prayed back here. We dedicated this to God, this whole thing to God. And I know many of you were praying in your places of business and at home and those who couldn't get here. And I got to tell you something. I know without a doubt, I believe God, and I know without a doubt God is working and the city councilors. Amen? Even if it seems everything is against you, God is for you. Don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on your dream even when surprises occur. Even when surprises occur. Look what happens to Joseph because of his dream. Look at his brother's response. Chapter 37, verse 19. Look at this. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him. Throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. And then we'll see what comes of his dream. Boy, I remember the word cisterns. Wow. Not a pleasant place. You didn't want to visit a cistern. You never wanted to be in a cistern. But sometimes we're in the cistern of our life and we just feel like we can't get out. And just because things don't go as planned, there's no reason to give up. I mean, look at the surprises that Joseph lived through and how he reacted. Look at this. He was misunderstood by his family. Did he give up? No. Sold into slavery by his brothers. Give up? He living in a strange country, far from home. Did he give up? Given favor in Potiphar's house? Go on, he says. Wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. Did he give up? Thrown into prison. Give up? Put in charge of all the prisoners. Go on. Keep on moving. Press forward. Forgotten by the chief butler. Give up. Remained in prison 2 years. Give up. Interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Go on. Became second in command of Egypt. Go on. You see, have you ever felt like giving up? I mean, you think about it. Why didn't Joseph give up? I mean, all that stuff. And all of a sudden, there was a boom. I go on. Yeah, I can keep pressing. My dream's being realized. I can keep moving forward. I mean, after all, you and me, he had twice as many give-ups as he did go-ons. And he kept on going on. Every dream contains negative surprises that can greatly discourage you. It's like one day, Linus and Charlie Brown, they're walking along and chatting with one another. You know, they're good friends. And Linus says, I don't like to face problems head on. I think the best way to solve problems is to avoid them. In fact, this is a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or so complicated that it can't be run away from. See, how did Joseph have the strength not to give up on his dream? I want you to turn quickly to Acts chapter 7. Because you got to see this. This is a great passage. Acts chapter 7. Oh, I love to hear those pages. Ooh. Acts chapter 7. And look at verse 9. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. Now, do you see what else it says? But, I'm sorry. Whoa! But God was with him. See, how did Joseph have the strength not to give up on his dream? He knew that God was with him. Every time he found himself in a give-up time of life, he realized that the Lord was with him. It's like Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. What mattered to Joseph was the Lord. The Lord was with him. Just remember this. When surprises occur, the Lord is still with you. One of my favorite stories. I got to tell you this because I love it. During World War II, a U.S. Marine was separated from his unit on a Pacific island. And the fighting had been intense, and in the smoke and in the crossfire, he lost touch with his comrades. They were somewhere else. And so he was alone in the jungle. And he could hear enemy soldiers. They were coming in his direction, starting to swarm in. And scrambling for cover, he found his way up a ridge to a high point, and there were several small caves in the rock. And So quickly he crawled inside one of the caves. And he was safe there, but just for a moment. Because he realized that once the enemy soldiers looking for him swept that ridge, that they quickly search all the caves, he'd be for sure killed. There was no chance. So he waited. But he prayed while he waited. He said, Lord, if it be your will, please protect me. Whatever your will, though, I love you and I trust you. Amen. And after praying, he just lay there quietly and listening to the enemy. He was starting to close in, and he thought, well, I guess the Lord isn't going to help me out of this one. Then he saw a spider starting a web over the front of his cave. As he watched and as he listened to the enemy searching for him all the while, the spider layered strand after strand of web across the opening of the cave. The man thought, okay, what I need is a brick wall, and what the Lord has sent me is a spider web. I mean, God has a sense of humor. The enemy drew closer. He watched from the darkness of his hideout, and he could see them searching one cave after another, going through. They came to his cave, and he got ready to make his last stand. However, to his amazement, after glancing in the direction of his cave, they moved on. Suddenly, he realized that with the spider web over the entrance of his cave, it looked like nobody had entered it for quite a while. The young man said, Lord, forgive me. I'd forgotten that in you a spider's web is stronger than a brick wall. We all face times of great trouble. And when we do, it's so easy to ask for something in particular, like a brick wall. And God sends something as simple as a spider web to protect us. Whatever's happening in your life, with God, a mere spider's web can become a brick wall of protection. Believe God is with you always, even through the surprises in your life. Well, don't give up on your dream. Even if it seems everything is against you, and even when surprises occur, even if it takes a long time to really realize it. See, turn to Genesis 50. Yeah, it's still in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50. I want you to know that 23 years passed from the time that Joseph had his dream until it was fulfilled. But in the end, Joseph ruled his family, he was reconciled with his brothers, and he saved the nation of Israel. And look at verse 20 of Genesis 50. I want you to see this. Verse 20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You never know what God's timetable will look like when you're in the middle of the journey. Never give up on your dream. If you have not already discovered your dream, you hopefully realize how much you're missing. Because a dream will provide you with a reason to go, a path to follow, a target to hit. And it's like Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra said, if you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. Joseph has so much to say and so little time to share it with us. But as we come nearer to the end of our journey with him, I want to give you some principles to keep you dreaming, all right? Principles to keep you dreaming. First of all, realize God's always with you. It's especially important, remember that, during the toughest times. Joseph's lying in the pit, didn't give up hope because he knew that God was watching over him. Think of it. God kept Joseph's own brothers from killing him. And then when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he also knew God was there with him. Remember, my friends, in trials and temptation, God is with you, too. Secondly, refurbish yourself during the downtimes. When you suffer injustice or hard times, complaining doesn't do you any good. When people knock you down, the best thing you can do is however to make it better. Each time Joseph found himself in trouble, he tried to learn something new. Learn something new. Thirdly, recognize that self-promotion can never replace divine promotion. Every time Joseph tried to promote himself, it worked against him. And when he runs and he tells his brothers about his dream, guess what? You're going to be bowing down to me. And by the time he was presented to Pharaoh, he had finally learned his lesson. He knew that his success came only from God, no one else. Fourthly and finally, results of the dream are always worth it. It's like how many of you ever took geometry? Okay, I was the only silly one. Okay, anyway, I loved geometry because you do angles. It was tough stuff, and I'd have pages and pages. But by the end, you get the conclusion, and you were like, wow, it's worth it. The results of a dream are always worth it. This has been hard slinging for all this year. Yes. But they bring such godly joy and peace. When the dream is God-given, its fulfillment is worth the waiting. Just imagine how Joseph felt being reconciled with his family to be able to tell his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Never give up on your dream. I want to close. I started with a song. I just want to close with a song. Because I hope you understand that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift and the fulfiller of every dream that he gives. This final song, though, is written by Joe Darian, and it was sung in the Broadway musical, The Impossible Dream. And here's the words. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest. It ends, the song ends with these lines. Now listen to these lines. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. Let's pray. I don't know where you picked up your dreams and visions, but somewhere along the line God spoke to you. And I don't even know how, but he did. Perhaps it was maybe at a church revival meeting, maybe with a Baptist elder or a camp while you were singing Kumbaya, I don't know. Maybe even a mission conference. But I know somewhere, someplace, God spoke to you and gave you his dream for your life. Don't give up on your dream. Possibly this morning you felt very uncomfortable. Maybe you even felt tears in your eyes because you know you've given up on your dream. Today, make a fresh start. Talk to God about the dream, the vision that he gave you. Hold on to him. Walk back to him if you've walked away from him. Maybe you just need time to just sit with him and hear what the dream is all about. Take time to hear from God. You cannot strive for a dream you don't know about. Listen carefully. God has placed you here right now in this place for his purpose. Don't think anything else but him. Don't give up on the dream that God has for you. Because life is so much better as you live your life with that God-given dream. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can sing to you. Thank you that we can extol you. Thank you that we can praise you. Thank you that we can walk in a path that you've laid out for us. God, thank you. Thank you that we are allowed to dream. Thank you that you are the giver of dreams. And we just pray, God, that our dreams are focused solely on you. Not ourselves, not anybody else, not anything else. Solely on you. We just want to hear from you, God. The dream you have for our life. Speak to us, Father. If we've walked away from you, God, may we walk back. We just pray. We pray that we would be godly people with your godly purpose for our godly life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Worship team, please.